peace and hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us.
God has spoken too deeply in my heart this morning. Everything what I heard today was very important for me, and the hymns, the prayers, and I don't know about you. I don't know how you feeling today, how you came to the Lord's house, but no matter how do you feeling, if your heart is hurting or anxious or I don't know, troubles, I think this passage from Romans is for you. It's for me, because I am the first here. I need the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this precious moment, for this morning here in your house, Lord. That you come to you in faith alone, my Lord. In Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. Father, as we met around your word this morning, I ask you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit in our lives. Your Holy Spirit to be our teacher. Help us to understand your word and apply in our lives, Lord. Please, Lord. I want these words, your truth, come alive twice now. Lord, forgive my sins, forgive our sins. Thank you for Jesus Christ. He has died on the cross in my place for my sins, in our place for our sins. Make us, Lord, more like Jesus Christ, and conform us to his image. In his name we pray. Amen. In our passage this morning, we see that Paul is writing to the Romans, and he looks back at the work of God in their lives. We know that he never He had never, at this point in his life in Rome, but if you read Romans, as I told you before, it is evident from chapter 16 that Paul has a lot of friends in that church. To be honest, we don't know who planted this church in Rome, but it's likely that, at least we understand, it was begun by some of people who had been in Jerusalem in Pentecost. Notice what Paul declares in his letter to the Romans. So the great theme in Romans is justification. It's not, I did something for you this morning. When you write something, especially children, for your teacher, is no really good, yeah? It's mess. It just justify and organized your notes. But I don't want to speak this morning about this justify. Are you talking about different thing, right? In the Bible, justify only from Jesus Christ, never by myself or yourself. Impossible. Because we are sinners. Without Jesus, we are completely lost, guilty, impossible. Augustine, Luther, Wesley, maybe you and me, myself, were converted through this magnificent letter from Romans. I know the story. Once the devil tried to discourage to Martin Luther. Do you know him, yeah? One of the most important person of the Protestant Reformation. By making him feel guilty, through accusing him with a list, enormous, massive, big list of his sins. When the devil had finished, the story told us that Martin Luther was sick in his bed. In that agony, he said, "Think harder. You must have forgotten some about that list." When the devil did think and he listed more sins and he was done listening to the sins, and Luther was in that agony, he said, He said, now, with a red pen, write over that list in capital letters the blood of my Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us, me, you, from all sins. The devil had nothing to say, of course. Of course not. Let me read something here, very wonderful. The result, what I have spoke, what Jesus has done for you and me on the cross, once, just once, He forgave us all our sins, have cancelled the written code with its regulation that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away. We are free. He cannot accuse me from anything what I have done. I have done so many things, wrong things, bad things. I think everyone here. He nailed it to the cross. And he have disarmed the powers and the authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is wonderful, isn't it? It's our hope. What Jesus done for us. The devil had nothing to say. Finished. In justification, not only our sins cleansed, but we also have put to our account the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is amazing, brothers and sisters. Wonderful. Superb. Awesome. I don't know. You know, because you are English. I'm not English. I'm Brazilian. The most important thing has happened in your life. When I saw Kevin baptism, the last time I came here, me and my wife, we almost cried because it was so wonderful what Jesus has done in his life, in our lives. This morning we will look at four of the benefits of justification. The first one is peace. Peace with God. Peace of God. You have peace with God? I don't know if you are peace here, in peace. But my prayer, when you finish the service, you go home in peace. Amen? Believe this. Paul begins this chapter with the words, therefore. This means he is drawing a conclusion. He has been talking about justification by faith. By God's grace, through faith. Paul has urged you today to trust God's power to remove your sin and raise you to new life through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells you that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in this way will bring you peace with God. The Bible tells you that before you are justified, it's simple like that. You are at war with God. You rebel against His rule. You resist His ways. And you want the universe to revolve around you. Yourself. But the other side of the battle, God hates sin. Because He's holy, holy, holy. You know, and we are sinners. And He must punish those who commit sin with His fierce wrath. We cannot play with God. Because the wrath of God is revealed from the heaven, chapter 2. Chapter 3, all people are condemned without Jesus Christ. His conclusion. So justification through the Lord Jesus Christ puts an end to the hostilities. God's wrath is satisfied in the death of His Son. The resurrection of Jesus Christ shows that His sacrifice on the cross was plainly acceptable to the Lord God. When you turn to Jesus Christ, no longer fight against God. You turn to Him, you repent. Simple. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have peace with God. It's wonderful. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, only Him, who brings you and God together. Otherwise, we cannot come to God. Impossible. When you have faith in Him, when you exercise your faith in Him, then He gives you peace with God. And He is the one who keeps that peace. Whatever happens in our lives, I'm talking about problems, calamities, whatever happens, He keeps that peace in our hearts, in our minds. Please notice that this peace with God is not given to everyone. It is only the person who is justified by faith that can have a true peace with God. Those who are trying to find peace with God on their own will, ultimately fail. You can protest against war in Ukraine. They can work in the United Nations. Oh, they can take drugs or alcohol to try to lessen the anxiety, but they will not obtain peace. About this peace with God, apart from the work of Jesus Christ. Did you see? I know this. I know the story. A person, I don't know why, he tried to stolen a mobile from the store. But he didn't see the camera was look him. And when he put the cell phone in his pocket, when he tried to go out, the security keep him and put him some room. And the manager was talking to him. But I don't know which reason he was crying. But what they have to do? Justice, isn't it? Justice, it means he must call the police for him. But that manager, he used the mercy. He said, "Man, I see your situation," he explained, "and leave this, go away." And he was. And before he going out, the manager called him, take the mobile phone, give to him. He said, "It's grace. Go." This is exactly what happened with me and you. God used grace for us. We are here for grace. Peace with God. Our first benefit of justification. Second one is access to God. I was strange. The last time I told you, I come here in this country 2006, but the Queen never called me to take a tea with her. No problem. One day I will be with my king. You too. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, one day you'll be there. Could you see this? Through whom, verse 2, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. From the time Adam and Eve were throughout of the Garden of Eden, men and the women have been denied the intimate access with God that Adam and Eve had. This was pictured most clearly by the design on the temple in the Old Testament. There was, if you remember, there was a heavy curtain that stood between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Impossible. The people were not granted access to God. That curtain effectively said to you and me, oh, everyone, keep out. Keep out. Another verse here, I'm just remember this when I arrived here this morning, was, look, how this happened? Pay attention. Many will say to me on that day, this Jesus Christ our Lord, 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 did we not prophesy in your name? And did we, your name, drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, away from me. Curtain, keep out. The people without Jesus Christ, without faith in Jesus Christ, keep out. Away from me, I don't know you, said the Lord. But when the Lord Jesus Christ died and satisfied the wrath of God, that curtain was torn from the top to bottom, as if torn by God Himself, was a symbolic act that showed that access has been granted. Paul tells you that you have gained access to grace. The word for access has a formality to it that indicates that this is more of an introduction. The picture is of Jesus Christ bringing you forever in the presence of the Father. The word that Paul used for stand indicates something secure. you have been granted the continuing access that comes from being a child of God. You are invited to enter His presence at any time, any time. No appointment necessary. It's completely free now. So, we have some benefits of justification, yeah? First, peace with God. Second, access to God. Now, third one is hope of the glory of God. The third thing Paul tells us is that because of our justification through faith, we rejoice. We sang this morning. In the hope of the glory of God. Verse 2. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation personally, you are able to look past this world, your anticipation for the next. You get excited when you think about meeting your Lord, your King, Jesus Christ, face to face. Remember when you were a child and how you used to anticipate Christmas? Eh? It may have been months away, but you dreamed about that you might find under the tree, isn't it? When the Christmas advent comes out each year, in September, yeah? You spent hours looking at the wonderful treasures that lay ahead of you. Not only, to be honest, not only children, me as well, you too. It's wonderful. That kind of anticipation of joy the believer should have about heaven. Did you? How should the idea of hope, of glory, excite you? Look, brothers and sisters, you are beyond condemnation. You are delivered from the law. You are near God. You are delivered from the power of evil. You are a member of His kingdom. You are justified. You have access to God at any time. You are a part of His priesthood. You'll never be abandoned. You have an imperishable inheritance. You are a partner with Christ in life. Privilege, but also in troubles, in sufferings, and service. Do you want more? You are a member of His body. Branch in the wine. The vine. Yeah, much better. Stone in the building. Look. Bride for the groom. Priest in the new generation, and a dwelling place of the Spirit. Exactly what you are, and me. Now, wrap your mind some of those things and see if it doesn't make your anticipation of heaven a little bit greater. Did you? Peace with God, access to God, hope of the glory of God, and now my last one, because the rest one is next opportunity when coming. Joy. Joy. Because of this new perspective, you have a wholly different attitude toward the trials of your life. Paul says you can rejoice. This part is really difficult, but it's true. Rejoice even in your tribulation. Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. Just remind you. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and the character hope. And the hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given us. The word for suffering carries the picture of a price squeezing the fluid from olives or grapes. These are the real trials of life. It's when you are persecuted for your faith. Or face tragic time. Though these things are often painful, I know that. You know as well. You aren't happy about them. As a child of God, you can rejoice in them, because you believe God has a purpose in following them in your life. Brothers, sisters, don't forget God is your side, in our side. Is we be with you? Believe this? That's why we can rejoice in our sufferings. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to trust God. You know, He is in control. He's God, sovereignty, powerful, almighty God. You know that He loves you. And you know that He never makes a mistake. Consequently, in the hard times, you can rejoice. Because, you know, God is doing something that is for His glory and your good. I believe that. You have the confidence that when you get to heaven and understand, you will see God's purpose and thank him even for the hard times. The word for perseverance, testing, or patience means to endure. In fact, it means the ability to remain under the tremendous weight and the pressure without succumbing. Suffering is the price of life and the circumstances, and the perseverance is the strength with to withstand that pressure. Think of the process of forging, like a forging steel. It's gained its great strength by going through the heat of the furnace and the fierce the hammering. Any metal object, such as a tool, is heated and forged. It is hammered into a mold, or is formed by a great press, or pressed between the rows, isn't it? These trials, pressures, and tribulations in our lives, it's the same thing, are designed to make the steel stronger. A Christian cannot be called mature until he or she is forged by the tribulation of life. From perseverance, you get character. A better translation is proven character. The Greek word actually means proof. Proof of faith in Jesus. It was the word used to test the purity of metals. The difficult times of life, the fires of affliction, separated those who have genuine faith and those who merely process faith. How are you in this morning, to be honest? When you faithfully persevere in the pressing time of life, we prove that our faith is genuine. Your faith has integrity. How are you doing today? I'm finished now. When things go bad for you, do you rest in the grace of God and experience joy in God? Or do you forget the grace of God? To be honest, before God, or you overflow with complaint and became self-absorbed and critical instead of love, instead of loving. Rejoicing, suffering is not simple like stoicism, if you remember this word. It's not simply agreeing and bear it in attitude. And you see how much you can take. Oh, don't let anything get you down. Oh, keep a steep upper lip. No, nothing this. Many people feel that if they do that, they are fulfilling the word and rejoicing in suffering. But that's not it. Do you know why? Because there are, I know that, I think you know as well, are no Christians can do that better than us. Many people pride themselves on how much they can take. Sometimes people who are not Christian, you put eyes to shame by the things that they can take without complaining. We are not expected to enjoy the pain. There are some people who think rejoicing suffering means that you are to enjoy your pain, the hurt, that somehow Christians, ought to be glad and the terrible tragedies occurs, and their hearts are hurting. But that is not what Paul is saying. You have met people like that who aren't happy unless they are miserable. If you take their misery away from them, they are rich, really wretched. Because it is their misery that gives them a sense of contentment. That is twisted, distorted view of Bible life. That is not what Paul is saying. Neither is he saying that we merely are to be pretend what we are happy. No. Some think this passage is saying that when you are out in public, you should put your artificial smile and act happy, when inside in your heart is hurting like a crazy. Like crazy. Now that's not it. Christianity is never phony. Phoniness of any kind is a false Christianity. It is possible today that you are here in this service of worship, but you lack peace with God. Isn't it? And the confidence of God in your daily life, living. Are you sincere, but still insist that you can do it by yourself? Are you still trying to be good enough, pure enough, kind enough, faith enough to earn the place in heaven? If it's so, you will not find the peace of God and the joy you are looking for. Until you stop trying yourself. And you try to save yourself. And instead, this trust in Jesus Christ to save you. Perhaps you are a believer. You have trusted in Jesus Christ. Is it possible that today your focus is misplaced? You are so focused on the details of the journey that you are missing out on those benefits. Do you understand what a great gift God has extended to you now, today, here? You need to open your mind and your heart and enjoy the wonder of being a child of God. As a child of God, you should take advantage of the access that has been extended to you. You should be a person who has an eternal longing. As you dream about the incredible wonder of heaven. That's why I told you in the beginning, brothers and sisters, go in peace to your house. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, that died on the cross in our place. He's all sufficient. He's enough to save us. He did everything for us. He did it all. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Please, Lord, forgive your sins and now apply your word in our hearts. Give us, Lord, power to live for your glory only. Cause men and women and bring them for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.